Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Thursday, the future of almost everything. That's what we do on the Thursday Upswing shows. Specifically for today's show, let's give you the big rundown. Ooh, we're going to start with Martin Moore's personal journey. Yes. The future of the non-compete clause. The future of the iPad and Apple after big announcements this week from the company. The future of taco chains across the state. And big talk about the future of the stadium freeway. As always, we are joined by Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. So let's get right into it. Steve Glenn, the chief Milwaukee officer at Experience Milwaukee and Text MKE, also the chief marketing officer at MISO, always bringing a creative, entrepreneurial, and music lane to the show. Martin Moore, last week, we started the show with a Steve Glenn story.
Yes.
It's time for the full Martin Moore story. What would the title of that story
be? Oh, we can't do the full. We don't have enough time.
Well,
for the
yeah,
full Martin
you're right.
Moore story.
We don't, yeah, we're just doing the opening segment, maybe a couple minutes, but we got to get
Martin Moore exposed.
Who is Martin Moore? Give us kind of your life story in 2 minutes. People need to know.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I used to be a magician. I started off doing magic from when I was 7 till I was 17. Then when I got in high school, being a magician wasn't particularly popular with the girls. So I transitioned to music, played in a band for about a decade.
Okay.
Then I worked on cars for 20 years, and then I got out of working on cars, and now I make commercials and do direct-to-consumer sales and shoot photos for Cost headphones.
That's
my life in a nutshell.
Perfect. Yeah, that's beautiful.
What about the band? The band. You skipped the band part. The band's coming back.
The band's still back together.
Music's coming back.
Get that band back together at all.
We used to play Summerfest, and we played, where else did we play? I don't know, a bunch of stuff. I've started playing again. I haven't played in about a decade. I haven't sang in a decade. And I picked my guitar back up. Boy, my fingers hurt. And I've been doing Instagram reel like every week or every other week to hold myself accountable, like playing one of my old songs. And my goal is to hopefully by the summer do a half an hour show. I'm up to about 4 songs.
Okay.
It's tough, though. Like, my fingers hurt. There's, like, muscles in my arms I haven't used in a long time. But I had a lot of disdain for music when, like, that didn't pan out. And so I've been trying to get back into it. I've been enjoying it. It's very cathartic now. It doesn't annoy me the way that it used to. So.
Okay. So your transition from working on cars to where you are.
Yeah, I started working.
What did that process look like
for
you?
Oh, my God. You can find podcasts about it. Not to pontificate, but like it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Next to quitting smoking. Like when you're an adult, changing careers is one of the most difficult things to do, especially the older you get. You have financial obligations, loans, houses, kids, all kinds of stuff. So to just like do what I did and get out of, you know, a blue collar, working on cars for 20 years, dropped out of college, that's all I know, to now being in an office and shooting pictures and making commercials and doing sales was a very, very tough transition.
You were kind of self-taught. I mean, that's when we met and started working together a little bit. And like, I was so impressed that you were learning this all on your own and plugging into different opportunities around the market.
Yeah,
I mean,
Milwaukee.
It's awesome.
I'm Milwaukee and found my YouTube channel. And then I kind of did some videos for you guys.
We need this guy to plug in here.
So it's been a really cool journey, and my goal right now is to just help other people who are in my situation kind of dig down and find that in themselves and get out of their whatever rut they're in their career and help them transition.
Very good. All right. When we come back after the break, have you ever had to sign a non-compete agreement? You may never have to again. We're going to dive into that. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe, WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open now through May 10th. That's tomorrow. Finalists will be recognized
during Hero Week, May 20th through May 24th. Help us tell your stories. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Do non-compete clauses harm competition and drive talent out? And should they be banned? The FTC wants to ban non-compete clauses nationwide. Is there a difference between kind of the high money stakes of non-compete? And then what about on the local level? What are you seeing with these clauses?
I hate non-competes for on the local level. I think they apply to 1% of probably the sort of business people, professionals that are working in big corporates, higher level execs. I have friends who, and we talked about this, you know, like are cutting hair.
Yeah.
And they can't go down the street and get a job. And how are they going to support themselves and their families?
Yeah. I mean, you see that. Sadly, on a local level in every market, like a barber saying, well, I'm not making as much money as I should with this chair. I want to go down the street. And the owner tries to put a non-compete on him or her. It's just wrong.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And you get scared because it's, whoa, wow. What do I do?
Right.
And, you know, hey.
Especially when you're in a small city in a small market like Milwaukee where jobs may be limited in certain professions, that really handcuffs people if they're in a situation where maybe they don't like their management or they're not making enough money or there's just a better opportunity for better health care or closer to home. And so I hate non-competes.
Same.
And the thing is I get it. There's trade secrets. There's right. All kinds of things that businesses want to protect.
Intellectual property.
But there's laws that protect businesses for that stuff. So if someone goes and they can trace it back to them, you know, there's things that they can do. There's tools that businesses have and owners have to protect themselves. But to, again, handcuff people, a barber or a nurse or something like that, whatever, it's ridiculous.
Even I think
that's
an office worker, right? That's just business insecurity.
And I would think this would be a ubiquitous decision, but I bet you there's going to be some people out there that are like, This is a dumb idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing businesses are still going to want to have that opportunity. And we'll see how it kind of makes its way through the courts and ultimately what happens. I mean, one of the things, you know, as a startup co-founder that I'm most proud about, some of the people that left the company early on, you have that thought early on. They're like, whoa, you're leaving? You're going to compete against us? What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But they went on, started their own business, hired more employees,
created jobs,
and did more for the market than if they had to wait a year. Who knows what would have happened?
Yeah,
so exactly. I take a rising tide lifts all boats mentality to it.
And here's the other thing too: if you're a competent owner and company and corporation, you shouldn't rely or be worried that one employee is going to leave and the house of cards is going to all of a sudden fall down. If you're that worried that someone's going to go, a barber's going to go somewhere else, then you have a pretty junky barbershop or whatever it is you're running. It's not as efficient as you think it is and as good as you think it is.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think just at the heart, non-compete clauses are bad for employees, customers, and the companies who enforce them.
I agree.
I mean, that's just the way to look at it.
What's funny is if you think of like an office worker, I've seen so many under non-competes just work their way right around it, right? They go to a direct competitor in a made-up role that seems like it's not competitive with their former role, and they just find the loopholes.
There's definitely loopholes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And such the a waste enforceability of it all, if it can't be enforceable, why even do it?
Right.
Just onward and upward. Let's go.
Let's go.
So I want to take a little bite out of the apple if we can. Ooh. And I know this is going to be a Martin Moore passion topic.
What is it?
It is this week, Apple Inc. unveiled new artificial intelligence focused iPad Pros, larger iPad Airs, kind of looking to reinvigorate that tablet market.
Mm-hmm.
First, are you a tablet guy, Martin?
I was. I've had the iPad Pro for the last few years, but it's become completely useless to me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why is that? Just because it's not a work?
They make, every year they come out with these ridiculous specs with the new M4 processor and the M2. And like the iPad Pro is a crazy powerful machine, but it still runs basically an iPhone operating system. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like Adobe products I can't use real versions of Photoshop or Lightroom or Illustrator on it. And so there's a lot of desktop class software that you want to be able to use that just doesn't work on. Shopify for cost.com. Like when I go on that on my iPad, there's like stuff that I can't do. Like it won't let me do. A website, like it can't even run the full internet like a MacBook can.
Yeah. You know, obviously, planned obsolescence is kind of really well done in technology. So
right.
unveiling new products that we all can buy is a good call. And the last, what was the last iPad release was 2010-ish. Like that, you know, going way back to when it was first introduced, not the last new version.
Sure.
But
it was a game changer when it came out. But it's just, and I think Apple, their WWDC is coming up in June. And they even said in the keynote, was it yesterday or Tuesday when they announced the new iPads, that, you know, get ready for some big news for iPad OS. And so I really think they're listening to customers and listening to the users and going, okay, we've got all this power. They're right. iPad can't really do anything. We're going to step up our game and make it run desktop software. And I think that's what they're going to do.
When we come back from the break, we're going to continue conversation around Apple. I want to see, like, what is the future of Apple Plus and talk a little bit more about where technology's going, because we got the technology experts in the house today. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, the upswing, the future of almost everything. Welcome back to the upswing, the future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Even with sales declining in the past 2 years, the iPad has remained the top-selling tablet globally. Nearly 10 million iPads were sold during the first quarter. But on Tuesday, when Apple unveiled some new models, they started the whole experience and the unveiling with an ad titled Crush. And it showed all these different objects, including like a record player, a piano, a guitar, and an old TV set, some musical instruments, a typewriter, books, paint cans, just being crushed by this compression device. And the spot with soundtrack to Sonny and Cher's All I Ever Need Is You, and all these items became the new iPad. And people didn't really seem to like it a whole lot.
It didn't get received well. I thought I was overreacting when I was watching it. I was like, this is probably the worst commercial I've ever seen Apple create. Like, it was terrible and tone deaf. And then I went on Twitter, like, just to see, and all the creatives agreed. It was just a stupid commercial. Yeah. I don't know.
Obviously, the point was, you want to evoke these through advertising. Yeah. You don't need it. Maybe it wasn't necessarily you don't need any of these, but it was like all this stuff can now be put into one device.
Yeah.
And creativity is unleashed, and here we are. Hugh Grant was one that slammed Apple, saying, this is the destruction of the human experience. I don't know if it goes that far, but hey, we're talking about it, and advertising is meant to evoke reactions. So either one of you a fan of Apple TV Plus?
Yeah.
Is that something that's on your radar?
Big time. Very rarely is there a show that I don't like.
Okay. So the head of marketing at Apple TV Plus is out after 16 months and kind of makes you wonder like where Apple's going to continue to take this. I mean, Ricky Strauss spent nearly a year at Disney. He was president of content and marketing for Disney Plus, helped launch that, also worked at Hulu. Where does Apple kind of take its programming, and does it even matter because they just have so much cash they can continue to grow?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have the numbers on if Apple TV Plus is even profitable for Apple, because that kind of streaming content is expensive, especially when you buy a movie. If you make something, I mean, that's what they all do, is they just buy the rights to a show or movie. But Apple has so much cash. The thing for Apple is it's an investment. If they have shows like Ted Lasso and all the other things that they have, it gets people to buy an Apple TV to watch it or buy an iPad to watch it. So they're basically using it as a marketing tool to get people to buy their product. Same thing with like Final Cut Pro or Logic, you know?
Yeah. It's an entry into the product.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've been pleased with the from a content perspective, which is what you guys are talking about. Yeah. I don't know I've always loved Apple. I've loved to love Apple. And now I'm getting closer to being like, I'm kind of not sure how I'm feeling about this company. When I think about gaming, TV, photo, music, like it just doesn't feel as seamless anymore as a company.
It's very fragmented. A lot of the stuff is very fragmented, and now throwing an Apple Vision Pro in there really, really, really mixes things up.
Like everything used to just work,
mm-hmm.
and now it's getting harder to do that.
Yeah, it all works really well within the Apple ecosystem, which, hey, everyone wants you to stay in the ecosystem. Right. But when you get out of it.
Boy, I'm trapped.
Yeah, yeah, and so am I. And I generally enjoy it. I mean, good experiences. It all just works. I think some people are looking, hey, where is Apple going to go in AI? Mm-hmm. How are you going to get really focused there? The car project, not on the table anymore. But you got to think they're still moving forward in that direction in some way, shape, or form because mm-hmm. they want to get more into our homes and more into our everyday lives.
AI is going to be the big one. And I think what Apple's really trying to do with AI is to have it be as sterile and neutral as possible so that it can give out the most accurate results without any sort of bias, which is what Google's been being slammed for by Elon Musk. Their mm-hmm. AI is there's bias built into it because it's all designed by humans. You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. And I think that's what Apple's really going to try and do and unveil at the WWDC.
Yeah. What about Apple Music? Are you subscribed to Apple Music?
The only reason I have it is for synced playlists.
Don't like it.
Don't like it.
Don't like the experience. I don't like the way it serves up. I don't like the way it takes over.
Hmm.
It isn't for me, even in the Apple ecosystem, a seamless experience.
Even with kids and family,
we are 1,000% a Spotify household.
Really? Okay,
yeah, everyone is on Spotify.
Hmm. I'd use Spotify if it wasn't for. I just use Apple Music for my syncing all my playlists so that they're the same on my Mac and iPad and watching.
Yeah, I find the Apple Family program works really well for us. I mean, the user.
Do you have the Apple One or whatever?
We have the Apple One. Like I mean, you almost have to get to the Apple One subscription if you're a
got to get that 2 terabytes.
If you're 100% fanboy, like they got you,
yeah.
And you got to do it,
sucker.
Yeah, I'm there. Hey, and my kids are there.
They have my routing number and everything.
Yes. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about networking and what's the future of building our communities around stuff we care about. A lot of movement in the networking space in Greater Milwaukee, and the two individuals here are two of the best networked people that I know. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore and Steve Glenn join us from the 262. No matter where you listen and how you listen, we appreciate you. But from the 262, I'm probably in the minority, but I'm a retired lifelong technology guy who has never owned an Apple product and never subscribed to any Apple services. I do things selectively and most cost efficiently. I don't give up on older technology. If it still works and adequately serves my needs, I'm still listening to WTMJ now on one of my several still working 1980s mini Sony Walkman radios with wired earplugs. There you go.
I love that guy. That's what it's all about. I need to get him some Koss headphones.
All right. Yeah. In the mail. Let's do it. And then someone chiming in from the 262 on our topic right before this says, what I found outrageous is that in some large companies, they've let people go without the employees having any wrongdoing with their employer. And then their former employer aggressively enforces non-compete agreements. Mm-hmm. One way to make sure, no matter where you're going with your career, is to stay networked, right?
Yes.
And you always got to be out. You always got to be contacting your connections. Whether you need a job or you don't, it's an important part of how we all live, no matter where we are in our careers.
And for those of you out there who think you only have to network when you need a job, we see you.
Yeah.
We feel it. It is awkward.
Right.
We don't like it.
I network to just meet people. Like tonight is JMAT's hashtag MKE networking event. And
which are great.
Yeah.
Events.
That's my favorite event. It's like the second Thursday of every month. I don't need a job. I'm just there to meet people and talk to people who are in the creative world and marketing and stuff. And it's just, almost every friend I have now is from that networking event. And it's a great way to meet people.
Keeps the brain sharp.
Yeah.
It really does.
Get inspired.
And you get fuel from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're an incredible introvert and you say, wow, I don't like going to events because it forces me to talk to people.
Right.
And
I hate people.
Yeah.
I love people.
But you go to events and you get juice out of it. And then you probably got to go home and decompress for a while.
Yep.
And then you reconnect. And, we all have to learn to do that more in our lives because there may be that point where you need the job. And suddenly it's going to be a whole lot easier if you're better networked.
A whole lot easier if you've got continuous relationships going.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say we want to be connected, we want to be seen, and we want to be who we are. There's a new book called Careers Unleashed, and the author, Asad Hussein, breaks it down into three networks. The first network we should have are people that can help us get future jobs we're interested in, we might consider.
Yep.
The second one is all knowledge and learning based. So if you need to learn a new skill, you need to learn what a how a conference ticks, whatever it is. And then the third, and I think this is one that we probably forget, is people that we want to advise, coach, and mentor. So it's not a place to get, it's a place to give.
I knew you were going with that.
Yes.
That's why I really like some of the events that I go to, because I've caught my carrot. Like, there's nothing I'm really chasing. So, like, I didn't have anyone to mentor me or to bounce questions or ideas or anything off of when I first got started. And so I really thrive on meeting other people and mentoring other people and helping them kind of navigate whatever path it is that they're on. That's big for me. That's why I go out and meet people, even though I don't like being around people.
You know what the dream network is? When you have people who are all three of those things.
Right.
Yeah.
That is, yes. So how did you, how did both of you in your busyness network? How do you keep it warm? What do you do?
It's a combination. It is kind of constant texting, emails, and social platforms. So connecting that way. But then as many as events as I can go to, and then staying really active in programs like Marquette Mentors and others that I need to be a part of, because it provides me not only with so much hope, but just fuel that I need.
Yeah. So I'll sit by the fire outside in the backyard.
That sounds lovely.
Or I'll pick a Saturday morning. And I just text everyone in my in my thread list, and I just say, "Hey, hope all is well."
Yeah, let them know you're there.
Let them know we're there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I go. I do like lunch dates and like drink dates at Blue with people usually once a week, and just try and stay connected. And like, there's a no phone policy, so the phone, you got to flip your phone upside down, and then we just hang out, have a cocktail, have a nice little lunch, catch up. You know, what have you been up to? What are you doing? And that's really what I love to do, aside from like the networking events.
Yeah. Early in my career, and this sounds a little selfish, but I had this thing where once a week, I'm going to find a way to get somebody to buy me lunch. and it was like, but I
that's
knew
me.
That if I went to it, I'm like, all right, we can learn from one another. And then I'm going to buy him or her lunch the next time. And it just was always something on my schedule, and it worked. So we're going to pivot to another road, not the career road, but the real road. What's the future of the stadium interchange? We'll talk about that next. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, join us. WisDOT has unveiled reimagined stadium freeway designs with some pretty intriguing options. And as we were talking about over the break, I think there's just a lot of things on the table in terms of the future of the stadium freeway. The stadium freeway portion of the highway was constructed in 1962 as part of a bigger freeway network. Never really built to kind of reconnect to I-94, didn't go down to grade. So now we're looking at, could we have tunnels? Could we have roundabouts? Could we have boulevards, bike lanes? What are your thoughts on the future of the stadium freeway?
Anything but what it is now. And anything but just add another lane or two. Like, they could, I'm telling you, they could make the stadium, that they could make that 50 lanes and it would solve nothing. Like, it needs to be completely torn down, reconfigured, reconstructed, rethought out, because it is just...
It's weird.
It's a weird
experience of
it's
driving.
It's almost as bad as whatever that is when you're on Lincoln Memorial by Discover World, when you want to get on the freeway and you have a panic attack because you don't know which lane you're supposed to
be. You're sure you're going to be driving against traffic
in
some way.
It's almost as bad as that, and I don't know what you do to fix it, but I do like that they're taking input from people who use it, who live there, and hopefully they can come up with a solution to rectify that, because it sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah. And you don't want to confuse people even more. It's already
crazy confusing.
Yeah. I mean,
we live here.
If I'm coming from downtown and I'm going to the ballpark, I'm taking Canal Street.
Oh,
no matter
sure.
what.
100%.
And also, this is my tip. Don't give that secret away.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm here to help. We are here to help on the upswing. If you even if you're going west home after a Brewers game, mm-hmm. I always recommend take Canal Street downtown to 6th Street and then get on the expressway and go home. And you will save a ton of time.
Right.
It's super easy and it's more scenic. You get to see all the development that's happening in the Menominee Valley.
Sure.
Like, come on, be a part of your city.
Exactly.
Drive well.
And it also gives you an opportunity, even if that gets backed up, to deviate and take another side street or something like that. When you're on the freeway, like, you're trapped.
Yeah.
Over.
I think the good thing with all these road construction projects in our community is that we're talking about building roads for people.
Mm.
And hey, I love my car. I love to drive. It's great. But ultimately, roads are for people, and making them safer and friendlier for all of us is a good thing.
Yeah,
so it's great that the DOT is looking at a number of different options.
Less cars means less traffic and less traffic jams. So the more that you accommodate other modes of transportation, the more that frees up lanes in the freeway. And so it's a win-win for everybody.
So WISDOT has said that it hopes to have a final report ready for the future of the stadium interchange by spring of 2025. I'm going to give you this website if you want to chime in and have your voice heard. It's Grafe. Grafe's the company that's working on it, actually right here in the
great,
Avenue.
Great company.
GRAEF.mysocialpoint.com/WISDOT175. A really easy site to remember
put that in the show notes.
You know, my biggest dream for this city is to just go like a decade without some absolutely massive freeway construction project. That's all I want. Just like 10 years and then I'll shut up.
That's a long time.
That is a good wish, Martin. We'll put that on the agenda for sure. Right. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about tacos. It's not Tuesday, but it's Thursday, the future of almost everything. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you're listening to WTMJ.
But we can get lunch after, though, right? It's Taco Tuesday!
Welcome back to The Upswing. It's WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. Sherman family lives in the North Shore of Greater Milwaukee, but the Mineshaft in Hartford, it's a staple for us. A really easy drive, 40 minutes or so? We want the huge, great game room, great pizza. Mom and Dad can hang out at the bar or sit at the table. The kids can get to the big $2 million game room and hang out and have fun. Caller number 7 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. I love pizza. Who doesn't love pizza? But I also love tacos.
I love both.
So I was.
What about a taco pizza?
Yeah,
pizza
whatever.
The taco pizza you bring
tacos
together.
On top of
that's
pizza.
Right.
I don't care how you do it.
So I was pretty interested to hear and see that Taco Pros is coming to the area. The Business Journal is reporting that Taco Pros, a chain from Illinois, continues to grow its franchises all across southeastern Wisconsin. Franchise owner is developing stores in Franklin and Milwaukee. They're going to have Mequon is now open on Port Washington Road. And then the former Burger King, if you're familiar with Marquette's campus, Burger King's been closed for a while. That's also going to be a Taco Pros. You guys familiar with this chain?
Never heard of it.
As a Taco Pro, never heard of that.
No,
yeah, never heard of it.
Get that. Well, you look at the area, you look at the marketplace. Oddly, I think Greater Milwaukee's kind of underserved by taco franchises.
We got a lot of really great food trucks, food trucks.
Yeah.
But that only serves whatever street they're on.
And I think that's a testament to us.
There's one right outside Gloss.
Right. That we want to eat local. That we want to embrace the local chains. But places like Del Taco, Taco John's, obviously Taco Bell. Taco Bell has 146 locations in Wisconsin. But there isn't one. There's one on 22nd in Wisconsin, but there isn't one truly in the heart of downtown.
I'm a TBOL, Taco Bell on Layton guy.
I haven't had Taco Bell in probably like 5 years.
I eat my fair share of Taco Bell. Don't worry about that.
I miss the old days when you could go to Taco Bell and you could get like 15 tacos and like three nachos and some cinnamon things for like $6.
What's it's a soft taco at Taco Bell cost?
Probably, I don't know. I'm guessing like a couple bucks.
Couple? You think they want a couple bucks for a soft taco?
I'm thinking they have not.
It's not like 79 cents anymore?
They have their, they have their menu that, more expensive items. But some of the basics, you can still get a good deal.
For under a Taco buck?
Bell. $1.69 is what the list price at Taco Bell for a soft taco.
Okay. Absolutely not under any circumstances.
It's still under $2. That's still too much for you?
Yes, for a soft taco. That's all it is, some ground beef, a little 6-cent tortilla and a couple pieces of lettuce.
But if you're going to one of my favorite places, remember, like Casa del Alberto on National Avenue,
is
or
that
Margarita,
your favorite?
That's my favorite Mexican place.
It's a good spot.
In Greater Milwaukee. It's still a little under the radar, but they do a great job. The family's wonderful. And then Margarita Paradise at the Milwaukee Public Market.
Ooh, yes.
The breakfast tacos there are some of my favorite.
It's totally fun to be there, too.
$3.99, $4 a taco. I'm all in there because a little bigger.
I get that in the summer when I have to do photo shoots. Yeah. I'll get there a little early and I'll get myself a breakfast taco.
I have a hidden gem.
Ooh.
It might not be so hidden anymore, but La Chinampa on 2nd Street is... It is legit.
Mm-hmm.
It is legit. And still, like, very good prices there, too.
All right. Well, as we were talking about over the break, I do want to see kind of a larger scale Taco Bell somewhere in downtown Milwaukee.
Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Those aren't tacos.
I don't know. I feel like as we continue to grow as a downtown, we need these connections in places that everyone knows.
It fits a craving.
Taco Bell are tacos the way almond milk is milk.
You the late night, the convention goers, they need it.
Yeah.
But having the downtown drive-through, it's a challenge in this market, but I don't know. Hey, more options, more tacos, more better in my world.
If that happens, it is over for me.
Really?
I'm just saying, yes.
You're going to get a Taco Bell subscription?
Whatever
it takes.
Would
you get a Taco Bell subscription?
Before an Apple subscription.
How much would you pay for a monthly subscription?
$60 a month.
And what would you like to get for that? $60 a month?
Yeah.
And how often would you go?
All the time.
Every day? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
And not breakfast. I don't like their breakfast.
Second supper.
All right. Well, we're getting close to lunch, so we're going to wrap up this conversation. As always, the future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Appreciate your time.